إن الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده نحمد الله ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون وقال تعالى ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسول الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama kiram, elders, dear brothers in Islam, once again we have come together on the day of Jumu'ah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having just completed the blessed month of Ramadan, in which the primary objective, the primary focus was the development of taqwa. As we know the famous verse of the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, the purpose of fasting is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you may acquire the quality of taqwa. And as may have been explained previously by other speakers and other ulama, what is the sharia definition of taqwa? It means امْتِثَالُ أَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ وَاجْتِنَابُ النَّوَاهِي, to implement, to observe, to carry out whatever Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made compulsory, and ijtinabu nawahi, to abstain and refrain from all that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbidden us from. This is the basic minimum level of taqwa. This is the basic definition of taqwa. To carry out whatever is commanded and to abstain and refrain from whatever is forbidden. This is the basic level, minimum level of taqwa, which is expected of every Muslim, male and female. Now, to go beyond that a little further, there are two important components of taqwa, which you will find if we read the Quran Sharif throughout from cover to cover. This is the underlying message, the fundamental message of the entire Quran Sharif. And these two fundamental principles, they are the primary components of taqwa. If we want to acquire taqwa completely, comprehensively, in the true sense of the word, then these two components are important. The first component is aqidah, in other words, correct beliefs. The second component and requirement of taqwa is a'mal as-saliha, or in other words, correct actions. A'mal as-saliha can only be a'mal as-saliha if it is in keeping with what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has relayed to us, or taught to us, or conveyed to us. So on the first hand, correct beliefs as propounded in the Quran Sharif and as propounded in the Ahadith and the Sunnah, that is the first component. The second component is correct actions, what we know as A'mal al-Salihah, also as propounded and conveyed to us through the Quran Sharif and the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the two primary components, the primary elements of taqwa. Correct beliefs, correct actions. From the two components, the one is most important, is more important than the second, because it forms the foundation, and that is correct beliefs. The correct beliefs forms the foundation of the entire structure and house of Islam. The outward structure that we see of any building, no matter how beautiful, no matter how wonderful it may be constructed, ultimately it depends upon the foundation. If that foundation is solid, then that entire structure will remain. For for a very, very long time without any problems. But if that foundation is shaky, is weak, it will easily collapse. That entire structure, no matter how beautiful, no matter how tall, it will come down. So same is with the house of Islam. The house of Islam, we know the one wall is salah, second wall is fasting, third wall is zakat, fourth wall is hajj, and then your canopy, which can be da'wah, which can be jihad, which can be feeding the poor. So many other things makes up the house of Islam, which people can see. That's the outward structure. It can go very, very high, alhamdulillah. But all of that depends on the foundation. And that foundation is the correct beliefs. So we see this also throughout the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this constantly. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Verily those who have faith and who carry out pious deeds, correct pious deeds. So basically, if you look at it, the Quran Sharif constantly is making reference to this point. Correct beliefs, correct actions. We look at the beginning of Surah Baqarah, the ayat which I just recited, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Alif Lam Mim, these are the huruf muqatta'at, abbreviated letters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the meaning of this. Thereafter Allah ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ That book, meaning that majestic book, that lofty book, that elevated book, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ There is no doubt in it. Other people may have doubt in it. But as believers, it's unthinkable to have doubt in it. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ There is no doubt in it. Furthermore, Allah ta'ala says, هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ It is a means of guidance for those who have taqwa. We have just come out of the month of taqwa. So this is very relevant. It is a means of guidance for those who have taqwa. So alhamdulillah, if we were successful in developing that quality of taqwa in the month of Ramadan, strengthening it, recharging it, then this Quran Sharif will have a greater effect upon us. So it's a means of guidance for those who have taqwa. Now look at what Allah Ta'ala refers to immediately after that, in explaining and elaborating the qualities of the muttaqeen. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ The first thing that Allah Ta'ala says after that, when He's describing the quality of the muttaqeen, He says, those who believe in the unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ They believe in the unseen. It's the first hallmark of the ummah, of the believers. They believe in the unseen. They don't wait for scientific proofs. They don't wait for modern arguments and convincing proofs from the secularists or from the academics. They believe in the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from the ghayb. He's from the unseen. Jannah and Jahannam is from the unseen. The malaika are from the unseen. Like that, there are many things that are unseen to us. But if it is revealed in the Quran and it is revealed in the sunnah, alhamdulillah, the believers, they believe in it. Thereafter, Allah ta'ala speaks about that they establish regular salah and so on. So a'mal comes second. First is correct beliefs. To explain another dimension of this importance of correct beliefs, let us look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in His address to the most beloved of creation, to the best of creation, none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says in Surah Az-Zumar, it's ayat number 65, Surah Az-Zumar. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that this is now a hypothetical situation. Hypothetical meaning, if it was like that. For example, if it was like that. Not that it is so. So it's a hypothetical situation. Allah ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ And most certainly, without a shadow of a doubt, it has been revealed to you. That is, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ And to those before you. Meaning, to the Anbiya alayhimus salam, before you. They were also given this revelation, and they were also given this message. What is the message? لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ Hypothetically speaking, if for example, you had to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, if it had to happen like that, Ma'adallah, Rasulullah would never do something like that, but Allah ta'ala has given an example. If he can give this message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then obviously, بِتَرِيقَةِ الْأُولَى This definitely will be applied to us also. Even more it will apply to us. So Allah Ta'ala says that if you had to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, then what would be the consequences? What would be the result? لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ Most definitely your good deeds would be wiped out. Now who is speaking? Who is being addressed here? None other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who can match the a'malu salihah and the good deeds of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Subhanallah. Yet Allah Ta'ala is saying that even if you had to ascribe partners to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in any way, make shirk, you know, in any way with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in His ibadat and in His worship, then your good deeds would be wiped out. وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And most certainly you will be of the losers. So this is a very, very powerful message. That if the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation, has been given such a warning, like that there are several other warnings. So what about me and you? How much more careful we have to be? Because what is shirk? Shirk is incorrect beliefs. It is to do with incorrect beliefs. So this is a further clarification, a further dimension of what are the consequences of incorrect beliefs. So this is the point we are stressing on. A fundamental requirement of taqwa is to have correct beliefs. For example, we saw recently when there was so much of hubbub about the Amin al-Awwal case, how many Muslims' iman was shaken up? Because this is a struggle between truth and falsehood. It's an ideological war. Sometimes we don't realize that this is an ideological war. One is the war on the battlefield, the physical war that's taking place on the battlefield, where the Mujahideen are engaged in a life and death struggle in Chechnya, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and so on and so forth. Those are physical wars taking place in a restricted geographical zone. But the war that is taking place on a global level is the ideological war which is taking place for the hearts and minds of humanity. The struggle between truth and falsehood. And it's going on throughout the world. For more than 100 years this particular struggle is taking place, but the struggle between truth and falsehood is as old as time itself. So this is an ideological war, it's a very real war. And we have seen people's iman being shaken up. We have seen people being put into doubt. Even people who may seemingly be, you know, on the sunnah. People in outer sunnah dress, mashallah. But they come and they admit that we are shaken up, we are confused. And they ask questions which we wouldn't expect a person to ask. So it means that the ideological war has an impact on some people. It may not have an impact on everyone, but it does have an impact wherever. So this is a very, very real challenge that Muslims need to come to grips with. The challenge of the ideological war, the struggle between truth and falsehood. And the Amin al-Awwal case was one of many examples where we see the impact of this type of war. Because the media has such a reach, it has such power. And people were beginning to ask, is stoning really part of Sharia? And if it is, how come? It's so barbaric, etc., etc. If that is the haqq by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we accept it as the haqq, irrespective of what people may say. This is our position as Muslims. This is why I say it is important for us to understand what is our beliefs as Muslims and have the correct belief. Whatever is the haqq by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we accept it, we believe in it. Amanna wa saddaqna. We believe and we accept. This is very, very important. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could be given such a warning, then what about me and you? So for us to then go out and then take public platforms, trying to be take an apologetic position, and saying, no, that this was only found in the hadith. Astaghfirullah. As if the hadith has got no position in Sharia. This is the position many Muslims have taken on public platforms, which I heard myself. They even go on to TV platforms, on radio platforms. They publish it in their so-called Muslim papers. Articles totally rejecting the whole principle of rajam and stoning in the Sharia. That is another topic and a subject on its own. There is plenty of references in the Quran and in the hadith. So the point is this, how we are shaken up in the struggle between truth and falsehood, between haqq and batil. So it is important for us to understand that this struggle between truth and falsehood, this is an ideological war. And we have to guard our iman. Because the correct beliefs forms the foundation before anything else. And this is the message that we should understand. Secondly, we have correct actions. Correct actions also is the actions which are in keeping with the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now sometimes we may think that we are doing a good action, but if we go and look in the Quran Sharif or in the Ahadith, we find that it may be in conflict. Now because we are so set in our ways that we want this type of practice to continue, it goes against our desires. So we continue that practice even though we find that it is contradicting the Quran and Sunnah. The example is now that we find when so many ulama are raising objection to this type of Eidgah that is being promoted, yet we still find it comfortable to promote it. We put it up in big billboards, we promote it on our media and so on and so forth. But is that the way that we should be conducting our affairs? These are things that we need to understand also has to be within the Sharia limits. So correct actions, correct beliefs and correct actions, these are the two fundamentals of Sharia. We look at ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. Allah Ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه فحبطت أعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا. It's a very very powerful ayat in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah Ta'ala says, say O Muhammad, هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا. Should we inform them? هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا. Should we inform you of those who are the greatest losers as far as their أعمال are concerned? Subhanallah. Should we inform you who are the greatest losers as far as their deeds are concerned? الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. Those whose efforts have gone astray in the worldly life. They've done wonderful good deeds. Like Mother Teresa. You know, who is doing so much of good work for the poor. And then we had Muslims. This is another example of how our beliefs are not in line, are not straight, are not in order. When people like Mother Teresa passed away, we say, how can a person like that go to Jahannam? That's a question. Another one, example, there was a housing minister, Joe Slovo, when he passed away, somebody also, person been for Hajj, he said, that person must go to Jannah. Why? Because he's been building houses for so many poor people. We admire the good work, definitely. But the criteria is Iman, brothers. This is the point we need to understand. So even no matter how great our good deeds are, if our aqid and our beliefs are not in line with the Quran and Sunnah, khalas. This is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayat also brings it up very clearly. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Say, O Muhammad, should we inform you of those who are the greatest losers as far as the deeds are concerned? أَلَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Those whose efforts have gone astray in the worldly life, while they are laboring under the false impression, while they are thinking, while they are laboring under the false impression that they are doing good. Who are those people? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ. Those are the ones who rejected the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And also his Anbiya alayhi salam, in belief in the Anbiya alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَيْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَاهِ فَحَبِتَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. So their good deeds are wiped out, nullified, erased. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. So we will not set for them on the day of Qiyamah any weight. They will have no weight on the scale of good deeds. Their good deeds will have no weight on the day of Qiyamah. This is because their beliefs are incorrect. This is Surah Al-Kahf. So this is the message that comes through constantly through the Quran Sharif. We have come out from the month of Taqwa. We need to understand the two fundamental requirements of Taqwa is correct beliefs, correct actions. Sometimes we may not know all the details. We are not, all of us are not ulama. We won't have all the details. But our spirit and our position should be whatever is the haqq by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I believe in it. Whether I understand it, whether it makes sense to me, whether there's a logical proof, scientific proof, whatever, I believe and accept in it. Khalas. As long as it is proven from the Quran and Sunnah, I accept it. Then also we shouldn't have any belief which is not part of Quran and Sunnah. We shouldn't hold beliefs that are not part of the Quran and Sunnah. That's also coming under correct beliefs. So these are the messages that comes out from the Quran Sharif. And you know what is said is that after we finish Taraweeh, we conclude, then the Quran Sharif, the famous old lament, we lose contact with that message. That message which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not meant only for reciting in the language which we think we don't understand. We must make it our duty to understand. Sometimes people say, no, it is only meant for the ulama to read the Quran Sharif. I disagree with that. Because the Quran Sharif, yes, you have to be a mufassir, you have to be a faqih to understand the masail, to go into the tafsir, etc., etc., to go into the fine details. But the superficial translation, the direct translation and the direct message is meant for everyone. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّلَّ الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Most certainly we have made easy the Qur'an for reminder, as a reminder. So is there anyone to take heed? Is there anyone to take a benefit and reminder from it? So to read the translation of the Qur'an also is not the Qur'an Sharif itself, but it is a translation that will have some benefit. And if we learn the Arabic language, to get the direct translation even more directly, how much more beneficial. And every time you're standing in our salah, the ayats are coming to us. The meaning of the Quran Sharif will be conveyed to us, and it will have an impact on the heart. And we will read the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and these issues of correct beliefs and correct actions will come through constantly. It will be reinforced all the time. It will go a long way to strengthening our iman, correcting our beliefs. We see the Arabs, Mujahideen. Why are they so quickly able to respond to the call? Because they understand the ayats that are coming to them directly. We're not speaking of tafsir, don't get me wrong. We're not saying we have the ability to make tafsir if you learn Arabic language. That's a different issue. Or to go into the masail, etc. We're speaking about the direct translation itself. That itself has got its own benefit. So to learn the Arabic language, it should be something we should continuously encourage each other. We've got so many ulama, we've got so many opportunities and resources. Why do we neglect the learning of the Arabic language? The Quran Sharif and the Ahadith is in its pure classical form of Arabic language. The language of the Quran, the language of Jannah, the language of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these are things that we should be looking at. We've come out of the month of Ramadan. It was the month of the Quran. We find in many places, I've been to many places, this is the habit that we want to read as fast as we can, so we can say that we finish before 1 hour or whatever. And every hafiz is competing. Illa mashallah, except for a few places who try to follow the Quranic teaching, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, and recite the Quran Sharif in slow, measured tones. Because we need to reflect on the meanings of the verses of the Quran Sharif. But this has become a habit everywhere. We want to read as fast as possible. It's the month of the Quran, brothers. When we go for Umrah in Ramadan and we hear the Taraweeh there, then we are, alhamdulillah, no problem. Then we don't complain to read behind the Imam, because they are reading وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. They are reading in slow, measured tones, giving the haqq of the Quran, giving the honor of the Quran. So this is my appeal also, that for us to develop taqwa in the month of Ramadan, correct beliefs, correct actions in keeping with the Quran Sharif, and also the spirit of the recitation of the Quran, the message of the Quran, the language of Arabic, and taking the message of the Quran into our hearts. How many of us take out one verse a day, or one verse a week, and ponder upon its meaning, and see how we can implement it into our lives? We need to make that a practice in our lives to strengthen our iman and our taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide me and you and protect us from all the fitnas, especially this ideological war, the war that is being waged through the media. It has shaped so many incorrect beliefs, so many incorrect ideas, which goes against the spirit and the grain of the Sharia. But we need to be vigilant for this, and we need to be aware of the struggle of the media. This is why it's important for Muslims to take up this challenge of the media. May Allah ta'ala guide us and protect us from all fitnas. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.